In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today on what faith is. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about faith and money. Pamela Reeves, in her little book, Faith Is, says, faith is confidence in God when money is running out, not rolling in. Now, none of you are in that position, surely. Money running out and not rolling in. I'm sure that my listeners have the money just rolling in. Well, I'm sure you haven't. And the next page says, faith is remembering that in the kingdom of God, everything is based on promise, not on feeling. Let me read those two statements again. Faith is confidence in God when money is running out, not rolling in. Faith is remembering that in the kingdom of God, everything is based on promise, not on feeling. I had the most marvelous letter from a man that I just can't resist reading in this context. This man says, during the 25 years that I have pastored a small church with very low income, except for a few six-week substitute teaching times for a teacher who had a baby, my wife has not worked full-time. 25 years pastoring a small church with very low income. My wife has not worked full-time. She taught first grade for 3 years while I attended seminary. When I became a pastor and served two small churches in Wisconsin in 1965, she, quote, retired, unquote, from teaching to become a pastor's wife and hopefully soon a mother. When our children, two boys, started school, she began to do some substitute teaching, but seldom more than 1 or 2 days a week, and she was always able to be home when the kids were home. My salary today is still around $12,000 a year, everything included. Yet the Lord has taken good care of our family. We never buy anything, even cars, until the Lord provides the money. When Scott needed braces, the extra $60 was just there every month for 2 years. Through some scholarships and hard work during the summers, and me doing yard work and painting, Scott finished 5 years of college, studying to be an architect, with all bills paid, no loans to pay off. Our second son, Eric, is studying to be an elementary teacher. He's in his second year with all bills paid, and he has money saved up for at least 2 more years. When we have needed money beyond my income, the Lord has directed people from various places to send us some. We have never missed our tithe to our church in 29 years and have been enabled to help support 7 missionaries for a number of years. Today, with my kids grown, my wife could now be teaching full-time and earning $24,000 or more per year instead of the $2,000 or $3,000 she earns each year. Would the author of the book you quoted say my wife has to be in the group of women who work full-time? She hasn't had to for the last 26 years of our married life. Why start now? Even many pastors' wives whose husbands are getting salaries in the $30,000 range think that they are in the group of women who have to work full-time. If you're in the category of those women who feel that they have to work full-time, I would hope that this pastor's testimony might give you some second thoughts. Maybe you would like to think about whether or not God would allow you to stay home. Titus 2, 3-5 says that older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children and to be keepers at home. And so I do my best to encourage those of you that have already made that choice and to encourage those of you who want to but don't feel that it's possible. If I'm talking to some today who really would like to stay home and would love to be a full-time mother for your children, think about the story I've just read. If God did that for those people on a salary of $12,000 a year, perhaps He has some answer for you that could never cross your mind. But that story may not be the same as yours, but it's the same Lord, and His promise is the same to all of us. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your wants out of the magnificence of his riches in Christ Jesus. And this happens to be the New English translation, and the English people use the word wants. And of course, the authorized version uses the word needs. My God will supply all your needs out of the magnificence of his riches in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34, Jesus is speaking about material things. And he talks about how God clothes the grass in the fields, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown in the stove. Will he not all the more clothe you? How little faith you have. No, do not ask anxiously, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What shall we wear? All these are things for the heathen to run after, not for you, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your mind on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. Each day has troubles enough of its own. Faith is confidence in God when money is running out, not rolling in. Now, this pastor spoke of tithing. He said in 29 years, they have never failed to pay their tithe to the church. A tithe is a tenth of one's income. Thousands of Christians down through history have proved the truth of God's promises. They have exhibited the faith that we're talking about here. Confidence in God when money is running out. He expects us to trust and to be faithful in how we use what he does give. I grew up in a family where my parents were strict tithers. My father worked for a Christian organization, and back during the Depression days, he was making between $2,000 and $3,000 a year. And at that time, he had three children. He had six by the time he was finished. But all during that time, my parents tithed. The very first thing that they set aside when they sat down at the dining room table every week with their yellow sheets and their budget was this tithe. They took out exactly one-tenth, at least. Probably more than a tenth, but always faithfully a minimum of one-tenth of all that my father had brought home that week, and gave that to God. God expects us to be faithful in our use of what he gives us, whether it's much or little. Faith is surrendering our desires for things which we can live without in order to be a faithful steward. It's amazing how many things you can live without. Any of you who have suffered a disaster in which you've lost everything, either through a robbery or a fire or in some other way, you know that you can make it without a lot of those things. And if you're wise, you probably have not even tried to replace many of the things that you lost. If you really don't know how to budget, get somebody to help you. If you're tempted to buy things on credit, here's Elizabeth Elliot's advice. Cut up those credit cards. Just get rid of them. Do you realize that you're paying as much as 18% interest on those cards? Maybe even more now, I'm not sure. But my husband tells me that you can easily pay 18% interest on credit cards. So get rid of them. Just make up your mind you will not buy anything on a credit card. When you have to pull cash out of your purse, it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it, than pulling out a card. Now, Gateway to Joy is not a program on money management. You know that. I'm only telling you what anybody could tell you. I'm not an authority. I'm not a financial wizard. But I did grow up in the Depression, as I mentioned, and my parents did set an example of frugality. We were taught to save soap. We were taught to turn off lights. My mother had a little wire basket on a handle, which you could buy in any dime store back in those days, a little basket about 3 inches square, I guess it was. And in that basket, you could put all the tiny little slivers of soap, and we used that for washing the dishes. We never threw away a sliver of soap. Very few people would ever be that frugal nowadays. We are in a very wasteful time in a very wasteful country. But I would strongly urge you to teach your children frugality. Don't buy things you don't need. Turn off the lights. Turn off the water while you brush your teeth. My daughter and her family were having to do that while I was out there a couple of weeks ago because of the severe drought in California. Families that did not conserve 10 or 20%, depending on which town they lived in, of the water that they had normally used were fined. Set an example of frugality and faithful stewardship, as my parents did. And I've tried all my life to practice those principles, even though we don't have a water shortage in Massachusetts, and we don't necessarily have to save slivers of soap. Think of all the soap that gets thrown away in motels and hotels. Isn't it awful? But this program is about Christian faith. I need to keep going back to the basic principles. Christian faith. What does it have to do with money? Everything. Start with tithing, and you'll discover that you need to strengthen your faith and to increase your obedience, your conscience about the way money is used. Pamela Reeves' definitions of faith on pages 8 and 9 in her little book, Faith Is. Faith is confidence in God when money is running out, not rolling in. Faith is remembering that in the kingdom of God, everything is based on promise, not on feeling.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.